This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I am bringing you a brand new company, and I'll tell you what, I am super excited for this company to be on the show. They came on my radar about 2 or 3 months ago, and I tell you, if you want to look at a great cannabis vertical integrated company, look no further than 1933 Industries, Inc. You can find them on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol TGIFF, and you can find them on the CSE under the ticker symbol TGIF. Just to give you some metrics, in 2017, they did $800,000 in revenue. In 2018, they went from that to $9.7 million in revenue. And then 2019, they just finished up their fiscal year, 18.3, 100% top line organic growth. With us today is the CEO of the company, going to bring us up to speed, Chris Reventish. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You know, you guys... You've been a primary role in the company. What is your primary role in the company, and what is your long-term strategy, other than you guys are just knocking it out of the park, it seems like, quarter after quarter?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I actually was one of the founders of the company. So Canna Hemp, which is our CBD line, which is our fastest growing asset, I started that in 2016, and that asset and then another marijuana asset in Nevada, we RTO'd in June of 17. So I've been around the company since the light switch went on. Was the chief operations officer for a period of time until about 6 months ago. They asked me to step into the CEO role and kind of take the success that we've had on the CBD side down onto the marijuana side. And so, man, we are growing like you wouldn't believe. You know, I want to point out those statistics that you said about our growth. That's organic growth. That's us executing as professionals. That's not us acquiring anything. That's not us buying revenue. That's just us getting better and better and better at what we do. And then since we've proven that, hey, we're true operators, we can make money in this industry, we know how to, let's enhance our infrastructure. Right. So we just moved in July into a 67,000 square foot state of the art indoor cultivation facility, which would do 5 times the amount of flower that we were previously able to do in our old facility. We should have our first harvest out of there in the beginning of December. We're going to now retrofit our old grow into a 10,000 square foot full state of the art extraction facility. We're operating at about 500 square feet now. To meet the demand of our products. I mean, our extraction lab is running 16 hours a day, 6 days a week to keep up with demand for our product. And so now let's bolt on our infrastructure and enhance it. And then on the, we just jumped into California into cultivation, extraction, manufacturing, and distribution in LA. We've got operations out of Colorado. We sell our CBD products around the country, which is growing fast. We just released a CBD product with Tony Hawk yesterday.
I saw that.
You know, you made it in life. Yeah,
with Tony. Birdhouse.
Yeah,
Birdhouse
Tony Hawk walks through your door. You're like, okay, I made it. You know.
that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, you guys got a cultivation license in Nevada too, correct?
Yeah. We had cultivation license, extraction, soon to have our distribution license. And there's only about 66 dispensaries in Nevada. It's really interesting because I know you guys are out of Arizona. The Arizona Correct. Medical market does more revenue annually than the Nevada recreational market.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah, we're not huge, right? So we have 66 dispensaries. We strategically sell into 60 of them. You know, we're the top provider of products for MedMen, Planet 13, Harvest, Ianthus, Cresco Labs, which is bought Reef. I mean, we're the preferred vendor for all of them. So, you know, we've got an incredible stake. We were the first cultivator in Nevada, been around a long time. I've been in the industry in Nevada for a long time. We've got all the connections, and we really dominate that kind of wholesale branded good market space. That are third party, not dispensary owned products. So quite a presence in Nevada, quite a sales team. We actually have a pretty good presence in Arizona. We're in about half the dispensaries out there with our CBD products and, you know, moving across the U.S. as fast as we can.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this. You got a new manufacturing coming online here in November in California. That being said, how do you see the cannabis industry changing in the U.S.?
Well, California is a kind of a bad example of where the cannabis industry should be in the U.S. It's, you know, it's done it a little backwards where, you know, they've once again overregulated themselves out of business. And, you know, you've got such a robust black market there that it's going to take some time for the state to come in and truly enforce that. And, you know, for every legal dispensary in L.A., you've got 20 illegals surrounding it. So it's very difficult.
Right.
And it's so heavily regulated that it's so difficult financially for these smaller companies to go from the black market to legal. So they don't have the money for compliance and for attorneys and for, you know, getting their building up to code. And so what you're seeing in
right.
California especially is a lot of dispensaries are, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel for legal products for their shelves. Some of their shelves are empty and, you know, it's difficult. So we've been operating in the California market for about a year and a half. And we finally took the leap and said, all right, let's get the licenses. Let's partner up. Let's get this done, because we started to see that light at the end of the tunnel where, okay, the market's getting around, the state's getting around, the city of LA is coming to and starting to enforce, and we're going to start seeing some changes. So we kind of stepped in. But, you know, for the rest of the U.S., it's state by state. It's so different where you have, like, Arizona. Like, I'm going to tell all your viewers that Arizona is the next big market in the U.S. Like, that's the gold
wow.
mine, right? You have one of the most robust medical markets. You've got a population in the Phoenix area that's bigger than Nevada. Combined, you've got
3.5 million. We're the sixth largest city in America.
I mean, you're already doing $750 million a year in medical sales. That triples when you throw the light switch on rec. You've got limited licenses pushing close to 300, over 300 when you guys go recreational. I mean, that's the next big market. So, but then you look at states like Oklahoma, who, you know, don't have restricted licenses, and anybody can go apply and open a dispensary. And now you've got 600 dispensaries and less than 100,000 patients. And, you know, it's state by state. So the whole U.S. in general, it's, you know, it just depends on where you go. But one of the biggest trends we're seeing is this direct to consumer sales approach that, you know, Amazon has embedded into our minds. So we're a super brand-centric mm-hmm. company, and we're about the brands, and we think the brands will be the asset that survives the whirlwind of this industry. Because it doesn't matter where you buy it on. If you buy the brand online, or if you buy it in a brick and mortar shop, you're still going to buy it. Once you get confident in the product, you're confident in the brand, confident in the consistency and the quality and the effect that it has on your life, you're going to continue to use it. So we're really seeing that shift in the industry now, where states that allow direct to delivery consumers, the new consumers will walk into a dispensary 2-3 times, talk to a bud tender, try out different products, become educated, and then sit at home and order their products. So that's kind of the biggest shift that we're seeing across the landscape in the U.S. of states that allow for that delivery service, and where the cannabis industry is eventually going to go.
Let's talk about metrics here for a second. Your,
yeah.
your stock price, 20 cents a share, your market cap around 56 million. Seems to me your company is undervalued. What can investors look forward from your company in the fiscal year of 2020?
Yeah, incredibly undervalued. I mean, you look at our balance sheet. In the last 2.5 years, I've raised just under 40 million. And with that, I've built 60 million in assets on my balance sheet. I've got 18 million in the bank. I've got no debt other than a few debentures. Like, we're operating an incredible company. And so we've proven that we actually are building a real company, not something that goes out and spends $1 billion a quarter to make 100 million, right? We're actually building a real company with real value, real balance sheet. We've proven that we could do that on a small scale, and now we're stepping out. So you're going to start to see those revenues coming in from our new cultivation facility, from our new extraction facility at the beginning of 2020. You're going to see revenues coming in from our hemp extraction lab, which will do about 5,000 kilos of CBD isolates and distillates a month. And the revenue that was going to come out of there will come starting in the spring of 2020. So one, we've proven that we're true operators in the space. We know how to make money. We know how to grow. Now we've spent the money and invested in ourselves. And you're going to see that return on investment coming, so that, you know, 18 million a year in revenue goes to 50, and the next year goes to 100, and then it goes to 150, and we're putting money in the bank, right? We're actually a real company. So 2020 is really our kind of pivot year, where we go from this small cap company up to the big boys. We're going to have competing revenue with them, but we're going to have something a little different. We're going to have some real profits behind us as well. So that's what your investors can look for in 2020 with 1933.
1933 Industries, the company that we're highlighting here today on Stock Day. You can find them on the OTCQX under the ticker symbol TGIFF. You can find them on the CSE under the ticker symbol TGIF. I want my viewers and listeners to listen up here. I brought you a lot of great companies over the years. Get on the ground floor. This is my personal opinion. You're getting on the ground floor here at 20 cents a share. Chris, I want to thank you for stopping by and coming on the show. I hope you become a regular. I'm really enthralled with what you guys are doing out there, and I wish you nothing but the best.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me on.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.